it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Hello and welcome to the Wisden World Cup Daily Podcast. India are off to a winning start, beating Australia by 6 wickets at Chennai. It was a win set up by their bowlers, who bundled Australia out for 200, but India were given a big scare with the new ball, slipping to 2 for 3 before a brilliant stand between Virat Kohli and Kara Hall rescued them. I'm joined by Wisden India Head of Content, Abhishek Mukherjee. Abhishek, first of all, that was just so cool from Kohli and Rahul, wasn't it?
Yeah, but not very unexpected. Kohli has done this in ODIs at any levels over the years. And I mean, these chases, even before that, Kohli has been great in chases. He always seemed to have things in control. Rahul, since his return, he has looked very good. He was good before that. He has a very good record at 4 and 5. And it is unusual for a test opener to do so well at 4 and 5 over a reasonably long period. But he has adapted well, and today was just another example.
Yeah, I guess just trying to think of other test openers who do that. I guess Tom Latham is similar, isn't it? They're both good players with spin as well. But it's actually more common the other way around, isn't it? That you get test middle-order players who become ODI openers, like I think the likes of Mark Waugh, Adam Gilchrist. But yeah, it is a bit...
Yes. Yeah. Tendulkar, Ganguly, Rohit Sharma. I mean, you find that.
Yeah, I mean... So,
when Sri Lanka won the World Cup in 96, Roshan Mahanama batted in the middle order. He used to be a test opener. He was the only long-term... I mean, before this generation.
Yeah, okay. I was trying to work out, what should we actually make of the new ball collapse? I mean... It wasn't lost on many that in India's last World Cup game, they were 5 for 3 in that semi-final against New Zealand. And they have a similar slide today. And India fans are sort of fearing the worst, going, you know, that's the same thing all over again. But I guess looking at actually what matters from it, Gill will come in for the next game. And Rohit just got a really, really good ball. And those are two brilliant new ball bowlers. So then you're down to Shreyas Iyer. But then his was probably the worst shot of the lot, you know, chipping to extra cover. I guess I wonder. I mean, there was some suggestion that Kara Hall should bat at 4 all the time. I don't know what you think about that, but I guess especially in this sort of situation when we just talked about Kara Hall being a brilliant test opener, maybe that's who you want setting the ship. And Shreyas Iyer is kind of in the team because he's so good against spin. If you're coming in the second over, you're going to need to play quite a lot of pace. Yes. So I wonder if maybe there could have been a tiny bit of flexibility there, or do you think there might be a case to just back Kara Hall at number 4 because he's got a brilliant, brilliant record there.
Yeah, but Iyer also has a very good record at 4. So, yes, but what you said makes a lot of sense, because be flexible with 4 and 5 and use Rahul and Iyer not decide their batting position based on the wickets that have fallen, but also on the overs and who the bowlers are. Because today... we'll come to that. I mean, Zampa was the main threat given how the pitch behaved in the first half. And I would have been more comfortable if Iyer had been saved for Zampa.
Yeah, I mean, Kara Hall played Zampa pretty well. On Zampa, I guess, India bowled brilliantly. And we should talk about their spinners as well. But do you think actually both captains misread the conditions? I mean, Rohit looked really, really unhappy to have lost the toss. And then Australia choose to bat first. But then Zampa was so much less effective than the Australia spinners. And it seemed like Jew was the big factor. Do you think that... Did they just get that wrong? Or was it just that India's spinners bowled loads better than Zampa did, I guess?
The Indian spinners bowled really well. But what really put Zampa off the mark was the first over when Rahul played those beautiful shots through short third. So he played some exquisite shots. He played with the turn, but one of them was off a googly as well. So, and that over, Zampa never found, Nepa was never as dangerous as he is after that. So it may also be put to not Australians improve their records after falling into a pool or after having pool accidents.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it still at least wasn't a world record bad spell for Zampa, which it was a couple of weeks ago. But then I guess, did Australia misread the conditions in another way, I guess, even if batting first might have been an okay decision and, you know, Rohit clearly wanted to, only having one frontline spinner, I guess it's tricky because who are you going to leave out of, you know, Green, who's your prize all-rounder, or Cummins, Stark and Hazelwood? That's a tough decision. But equally, India's spinners were so good and Australia, you know, Maxwell, he's not a spinner of the class of Ashwin or Jadeja. I mean, you know, who is? But like, is Australia's team balance right, do you think? Or do you think they need to look at it going forward?
I feel very uncomfortable that they are here with one specialist spinner. Maxwell has bowled 67 overs in 17 ODIs in India. That is 4 overs a match. That doesn't make him a frontline spinner. Mm-hmm. But so they are without a second spinner for the entire World Cup, not just for this match. So that week, because pitches like these will happen. There will be flat pitches. There will be pitches that assist seam. But pitches like this will also be there. And Australia, today was against India, but Australia may be up on pitches on a pitch like this against Bangladesh or even Afghanistan. If it's a rank turner and against Afghanistan, Australia may still win, but it won't be easy.
It was interesting. Nathan Lyon saying today that, kind of saying it almost like a come and get me plea to the Australia selectors. I mean, it's a little bit late for that because, I mean, they've already picked the squad, but that's an intriguing option, isn't it? I mean, he's not a guy who plays loads of ODI cricket, but equally, he is a very, very good spinner, and that might be what Australia need. And I don't know how it can work in terms of, so obviously the issue they've had is Ashwin Agar's been ruled out, but I guess they've got to try and find a way to get him in for an injury thing. I guess Head is injured, but I don't think they can bring him in for a player who is already injured. But that, you wonder if a guy like that just go old school, pick a brilliant spinner, and see if that is a thing that can change your fortunes around.
The one problem with that is, what if Australia doesn't get another pitch like this? Mm-hmm. So that if they somehow pick Lyon for Head, then he becomes redundant if they don't run into another pitch like this. So that'll be a big risk. But again, on the other hand, very few overseas spinners have bowled as good as Lyon. I know it's a different format, but very few overseas spinners have bowled as good as Lyon in India. So, yeah, I mean, he has played only 3 ODIs in India, I think, but he has not been particularly, he has not exactly gone through, but he has been very economical. So I'm not sure. I mean, it will be a massive risk to pick someone who has not played ODIs, but then India have also picked Ashwin.
Yeah, true. Yeah. What did you make Australia's approach sort of more generally, I guess with the bat? They were flying so high a few weeks ago, you know, against South Africa. They were just smashing it all around the place. They would, you know, looked like they were batting down to number 10. They were using that full license by just going so hard all the time. Today, they don't bat as deep now that the likes of Hazelwood is back in. I mean, Cummins and Stark can bat, but it's not quite as all-rounder heavy as it was before.
Yes.
But they still felt a bit timid, maybe, and that they... I mean, I guess that's one of those things when you're playing with a side that isn't like the one you're going to play in the World Cup, you're going to have to work it out as you go along. And I don't know if they got it right today. What did you think?
They could have attacked the spinners a bit more. They could have. I know it's way easier said than done. Mm-hmm. But especially given how the Indian spinners bowled today, Jadeja has not taken wickets in a while, I mean, consistently. But today the pitch suited him and he ran and he was in his element, I mean, as he often is. But before that, it was when the ball was still very new. Ashwin bowled a ball that left Smith. It felt like a test match. I mean, we have seen that Ashwin do that in test matches. Beat the outside edge of the right-hander, of a very good right-hander like that. And once that happened, between then and when Jadeja got Smith, I think Smith was a bit hesitant to play his shot. And once the Smith-Labuschagne pair was... As long as Smith-Labuschagne were batting, they were still in it. But once that broke through, Javan Jadeja took two in and over. After that, it fell apart.
Yeah, they were so good, weren't they? And like, and Ashwin was brilliant, you know, coming back in. It's been so much sort of said and written about that in the past sort of few weeks. But just come in and bowl almost like he's never been away. And there was on it feeling like a test match. There was a brilliant video someone did of the ball that Jadeja got Smith with that was maybe just about the ball of the game. That sort of, yes. It was also a brilliant setup, wasn't it? He bowled the first two of the over that little bit quicker, or the two balls he bowled him before that little bit quicker. And then this one was slower, so it had a bit more action on it. And Smith was groping forward, but not quite far enough because it was slower. So it dropped that bit more and it turns past. And you have Smith giving almost like one of his test match star reactions when he's been beaten by a really good one, where he sort of shakes his head, doesn't know what's happened kind of thing. But someone did a video with a dismissal from the Border Gravesker Trophy early this year that was essentially identical, with the ball from Jadeja coming in and then switching to the coloured clothes halfway down, which was pretty clever. Abhishek, what was your moment of the game?
I would say the Marsh dropped off Kohli. I mean, had Marsh held the catch, it might have been a different result, because India will have to keep that in mind, because catches won't go down. It's also a point that India won't be three down for two every time, but catches won't go down early in the innings every time either. So yeah, I mean, that was probably the most important moment.
Yeah, I think you're right in terms of importance. It was just a great sort of moment from a theatre point of view. I mean, Mitch Marsh has had such an amazing kind of few months, and he's normally such a safe fielder, a bit of a sort of a mix up between him and Carey. And you had Cummins's face as well after that. I don't think he was as angry as his face looked in the slow motion. I think he was more kind of just, it was a momentary flicker, but I don't think he was livid at Mitch Marsh. It didn't seem like that after the game, but it was just a great bit of TV. My moment of the game was also just another quite sort of almost comical moment, which is the winning shot in the game. And I think Kara Hall looked about as disappointed as it's possible to be when you've just hit one of the best bowlers in the world in Pat Cummins over extra cover for six to win a World Cup game, having been 2 for 3.
I'll tell you something. When India and Australia played in Chennai in 1987, that was also the World Tournament opener for both sides. So Australia scored 268. And at the interval, the umpires and the Australian side pointed out that one of Dean Jones' shots was actually a six. It was given a four. So, and India agreed to make it a six, and Australia won by one run. So that day, Australia converted a four into a six. Today, probably Rahul would have wanted to do it the other way around at the same venue.
Yeah, that is amazing. And I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because cricketers will sometimes tell you that milestones don't matter, but I don't think Kara Hall was worried about the net run rate boost he would have got if he'd gone four then four or four then six rather than just finishing with six right then. But yeah, that was. But he did play brilliantly, and he is a brilliant player. And I guess he's one of those as well who, like, he's been talked about for so long as like maybe the successor or another player to be alongside the likes of Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma. And there have been flashes of how good he can be. And it's never, I would say it's still the case, it's never quite clicked that he's dominated like a big series or a World Cup or something like that. And if he can do that this time, I mean, he's in brilliant form, he's a brilliant ODI player, that would just take him up a level in that kind of estimation among Indian batters, wouldn't it?
Even in the 2019 World Cup, he did pretty well, given that he had to switch positions half during the tournament. He was batting at four, then Dhawan got injured and he had to open. But apart from that, and the Border Gavaskar Trophy 2016-17, Rahul doesn't have that one series that will be remembered as Rahul's series. So maybe, I hope just that this one is it.
So looking ahead now to the New Zealand-Netherlands game tomorrow, there's still no Kane Williamson for New Zealand. And we saw that Netherlands can be a dangerous team against Pakistan.
Yes.
I guess on that game, but also a bit more generally, we've now seen every side play once. I guess which side has most changed your opinion from the start of the tournament to this point, do you think?
Difficult to say. I would say it would be New Zealand, because New Zealand have not had a very... This year, New Zealand lost a series in India. This year, New Zealand lost a series in Pakistan. They have... last month, New Zealand lost a series in England. So, essentially, New Zealand have not done well of late this year. But as we saw in the tournament opener, they have lifted the game and lifted it significantly. We probably expect, after England made that score, we probably expected New Zealand to win. We probably didn't expect them to win like that. This is a New Zealand we didn't expect, and teams will be wary, because they are also prepared to go the England to 2019 way. Basically, put in as make their batting as deep as possible and attack from as early as possible in the innings. So yeah, we'll be seeing more of this.
Yeah, and I guess it's Ravindra being able to be an opener or a top three batter that just makes it so much easier to balance a side. I mean, they were a bit hamstrung in this 11 because they had three players injured, so they only left out one guy, but that was the specialist.
Ishwari, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, they had Chapman at seven, so that is batting deep, and they've got some all-rounders. I'd say that it's almost in a similar vein that actually I think South Africa have changed my opinion of them a fair bit. I mean,
yes.
It's easy to say because they got a massive score. And it's also worth saying that it was a Sri Lanka side who were missing their two best spinners, you know, Hasaranga's not going to play the tournament at all, and Tikshana just missed this game. So it's not the toughest test. But I kind of thought that... But basically, it's Razi van der Dussen being back in form. Like, if he's back in form, that changes the look of that side, because if when he was a bit struggling for form, you think like, well, if you've just got six batters and then actually the tail starts from... Jansen is a very talented all-rounder, but I don't think you can properly rely on him yet. If it starts from kind of seven down, you've just got six batters, five bowlers, that looks flimsy. But all of a sudden, if, you know, van der Dussen is back to being that player who can, you know, average 60, 65, you've got Bavuma, who is also ridiculously consistent, and then the rest are also very consistent now, but also explosive, then that looks like a top six that actually teams are going to just really struggle to get through that and get to that tail. Maybe it happens once or twice, but that's different to it happening three or four times. If it happens once or twice, but they win the others, they make the semifinals. If it happens three or four times, they get knocked out in the group stages, and then you get to the semifinals and anything can happen, I guess. So I feel like South Africa, I had not written off at all, but I sort of thought that might be the thing that just where they came unstuck. But if van der Dussen's back in form, then I can see that being
the problem South Africa have is if Jansen is injured, their balance will fall apart completely. If Jansen has a bad day with the ball, not a bad day, but they have exactly one all-rounder. Consider Maharaj, he's the only one from that tail who bats.
Mm-hmm.
And so essentially that is, he's the best of the four bowlers. And of the batters, only Markram bowls.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is South Africa. So we are talking about a very unusual South African side that bats better than they bowl.
You think of them as having great all-rounders as well, don't you? I guess they do
have
Peth Lekwayo in the squad, but I think they're right to just back their strengths, basically. Like they have five really good bowlers. Jansen's a really good bowler. And they have six really good batters, so don't try and fudge. Like, I don't think the side is weaker, even if you might lengthen the batting by picking Peth Lekwayo.
Yes.
So I think they're doing the right thing. But yeah,
essentially, Jansen has to play all nine league matches.
Yeah, unless they have cruised through, and then they can maybe rest him for one or two. Yes. But yeah, you're right. And it's a lot on him. He's a young guy making his way. But I'd say I couldn't pick a top four now, I don't think. But South Africa have edged up in my estimations, I think. Well, that wraps up today's podcast. Do join us tomorrow. Sports Social Podcast Network.